Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining the Employee Engagement Corner with Natalie Holder. Today I'm joined by Dwayne Celestan, who is an Executive Vice President for DHR International in the firm's Chicago headquarters. He leads the global diversity practice and is a member of the Consumer, Marketing, and Industrial Practices. Welcome, Dwayne. How are you?
Oh, doing fantastic. Glad to be a part of the call today.
Thank you so much, Dwayne. So, Dwayne, I just want to jump right into the work that you do around recruitment and headhunting, as it's often known in the industry. So when you're looking at a resume or looking at a LinkedIn profile, what jumps out at you as a really great candidate?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And just to separate recruiters, we are not all the same. So I'm an executive recruiter in the retain space. So what that means is senior level roles that are needed to be filled by companies, they hire retain recruiters. We're the only recruiter working on that assignment. And so we're looking for very specific things in the background. So for example, they will tend to say, we need this many years of experience. We need these kinds of experiences within their history. You know, have they turned around a business? Have they worked in new products? Have they worked in more than one industry or one country? So they will guide us in terms of what good looks like. So I think to answer your question, it's not good in the absolute because we're not looking for, say, a great athlete. We're looking for a specific athlete that plays a specific position on the team.
Okay. So basically, your candidates should be making sure that they're really tailoring their resume for the industry and the position that they're looking for.
You know, I have a different perspective. That's close. The way I think about it is a person should think about their career and the next role they're pursuing as what is the role where I'm one of 10 people in the U.S. that can do that role. So what that means is let's take someone who's worked 20 years in their career. It's not what you did in the first 5 or 10 years. It's what have you done most recently, say the last 3 to 5 years, that colors what you are most attractive for in the next role. So what industry have you been in the last 3 to 5 years, what functional area, and what part of that functional area. So let's take human resources. If you're in compensation and you've been in that for the last 5 years, it's unlikely someone will hire you to be an HR generalist for your very next position if you've been in compensation and benefits for the last 5 years. So even within a particular function, you can be more narrow. So your goal should be, I want to be an HR compensation expert at whatever level they're at for my next role. And that makes them a very attractive candidate. And for other positions, other functions, say supply chain, well, you might be a great supply chain person in consumer packaged goods, which doesn't necessarily make you a great supply chain person for a large industrial global firm. Because while there are similarities, there are enough differences that if you've been in consumer packaged goods, pursue that rather than change industries into something that's similar.
So as I'm hearing you, it really is much more beneficial for candidates to make sure that they're aligning what their future position is with what they're currently doing right now, you know, showing that they have the skills and capability to handle that next jump into a more senior but similar role.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, think about it this way. The hiring organization wants to minimize their risk. They want to make sure that when I hire this person, there's a high likelihood that they will be successful. So if someone says, but Dwayne, I'm tired of this particular function. I don't want to be in compensation anymore. I'd love to be an HR business partner. My recommendation would be try and get that move within your current firm, and then if you're not happy with your current firm, move to another firm. So you lower the risk for the new firm by being in that capacity already.
So tell me, how do you find your candidates?
Great question. So there are really two broad ways. The first is our database. So one of the good things that a candidate can do is ensure that their resume is included in the database of many search firms, not just 2 or 3 or 8, but hundreds of search firms. The second thing that we do is I use LinkedIn. So if I'm working for an industrial firm, and let's say they're in plastics, so I can go and LinkedIn on the industrials and plastics, and I can find people who work in supply chain, for example, and I will come up with several hundred names. Mm-hmm. And then I can look at them by the level. Are you a manager, a vice president, or what have you? So it gives me a way to quickly go into a similar industry, the appropriate level, and I can get a high-level perspective of whether someone seems to have the right types of experiences prior to making a contact with those persons.
You mentioned that there's a way to enter a database, not just for one search firm, but for many. What's the information for that database? How does someone contact that database?
Great question, and also very easy. The hurdle rate is really low to get into a database. But first, when you think of, well, how do I get to 100-plus search firms? Well, you can get to them by the industry that you work in. So let's call it industrials. Well, there are a large number of industrial recruiters. Recruiters will focus on that industry. And let's say I work in marketing. So there are many executive recruiters who work only in marketing. So between those two areas, you can identify large numbers on Google or LinkedIn. I just did it for a client recently without much effort. Within less than a half hour, you can find 50 recruiters on either dimension. Then once you have the recruiter identified, typically they make it easy to contact them. They provide their email address. You can just write a brief cover note, send your resume, and off you go.
No, that's really helpful. Really great information. So in addition to being the head of the Global Diversity Practice over at DHR International, you're also an author. You are the author of...
Yes. You know, it's really been a blast. I've published 4 books, and 2 of them are around success generally, and 2 are linked to career success. One is You're Hired, which I think is a great book for someone who's anywhere from 5-plus years into their career, even 25 years, because I use it with all the folks that I coach with. And the last one I wrote and published was A Recruiter's Guide to Hiring Diverse Leadership Talent, because many times, as you look around, there are not many diverse CEOs of the Fortune 500, and that cascades down to the other companies that are less visible. And so many times there's this notion that there aren't that many diverse leaders, and I wanted to share 2 thoughts. One, that having diverse leaders as part of your organization is actually good for business. There might be some additional benefits that is good for society, but for business people, that's less of a driver. It's actually good for business, top and bottom line, and I have a variety of factual data points to reinforce that. And then secondly, once you buy into, if you do buy into it's good for business, then how do I find these people? And I have some thoughts on and action steps and case studies of how you actually go about finding and selecting high-quality, talented, diverse people. So I was trying to make it such that you eliminate a lot of the excuses for not moving forward, but giving someone, I call it the push and the pull. You know, the push that we should move it, but also have them pull that we do need to have more diverse people on our candidate slates. And it's been well received in the market so far.
I mean, I know I have a copy of it, and I'm enjoying it so far. So without, you know, providing any, like, ultimate keys and secrets to the kingdom from your book, A Recruiter's Guide to Hiring Diverse Leaders, you know, what response would you have for the employer or the organization that says, we just can't find any talent of color or women that are, quote-unquote, qualified?
Well, first thing is, I have too many data points to prove that that's nonsense. It's not even close to being accurate. Over 75% of the people I've placed in the last 2 years are diverse, and I've worked for several multinationals as well as some smaller organizations and across a wide range of roles, from IT to marketing to supply chain. So, you know, I have some great data there. There are tools that we use. One is called talent mapping, where we can go out and identify diverse talent for a particular function, geography, or industry. So there are too many tools and approaches that we can employ that can solve for that we can't find them question. And so that's one of the things that we've done, and we use a variety of techniques so that we find the technique that is comfortable for each client. And it's worked quite well, and I must say that most of the, what I found is that most of the diverse people in the slate tend to do very well if they are actually qualified. So, for example, if we're looking for a chief financial officer, and all of the candidates are current chief financial officers, and you put in a diverse person who's a treasurer, they don't tend to do as well relative to the pool. But if you found a diverse person who is also a chief financial officer, they tend to go to the finals, and many times they're selected. So, and what I found from that is the diverse people tend to check more of the requirements of the experiences that one needs. They tend to be better leaders, team members, innovators, collaborators, people who've worked to get more success because they don't get graded on the curve. And sometimes, given the sheer number of people that are majority males, some of them are graded on the curve, so they are getting to their role for reasons that, other than the breadth of successes that many of the diverse people need to have to reach those same levels.
No, really, really great points. I remember a couple of years ago I was talking to a doctor who was really looking to find a candidate of color to head up a clinic that was going to be in an urban community, and he was having like the hardest time. And his way of looking for this individual, this potential leader of the clinic, was to go with the normal way that he's always been sourcing candidates, to not do anything different, to not look through any different databases, to not reach throughout his network. And so as a result, he never found that person.
Hmm.
You know, so...
Well, I find many of my clients, even myself, if you just ask me, who do you know who does fill in the blank? I have a finite network, right? Because however that big that is, I have a finite network of people who do blank, whatever that need is. But as a search firm, our reach is so much more broad and essentially not a finite network, or the size of how finite it is significantly and exponentially larger than any individual, because our database has millions of people in it, LinkedIn has millions of people in it, and between those areas and people we've worked with and placed, you know, we just have a much broader network than any one or two individuals tend to have. And that's something that we bring to all of our projects. But, you know, there's one thing that you mentioned, Natalie, that I did want to share, and that's thinking about many of your audience members are potential candidates. And there's really three things that the hiring market wants from talent in the marketplace. One, they want functional expertise. So whatever function you're working in, they'd like you to come in and do that function at their company. The second thing they like is industry understanding. So the closer you are to the same industry, the more attractive. The farther you go away, the less attractive. And thirdly is geographic proximity. If the new candidate can travel to the work site in a normal commute, that certainly beats a relocation, because you've eliminated the costs and the dilemma of someone trying to decide whether I relocate to another part of the country. So those three things tend to work consistently well from a candidate's perspective.
I think that's all really great information and really great advice. Dwayne, thank you so much for taking the time to share all of that with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime.
No, thank you. And also thank you to all of the listeners for being with us today on the Employee Engagement Corner.